Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Young guys, got a new book coming out, and it's about, and this is the best part.
I love
it. It's a coffee table book about coffee tables.
Nothing's off the table, nothing is on the table right now.
It's the Adams, Logan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. You get the coffee music to start. It's been a while since we went.
I was going
to
say, long time.
Live on with a morning show, which we usually do the live shows for post games. But this Justin Fields trade certainly calls for a big live episode with you on a Sunday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Same to you. I'm sure there's quite a few people listening right now enjoying a cup of coffee or something like it after a late night in the city. You know, it was a beautiful day.
Are you, talking, windy, about, are you talking about me right now?
Is that a McLovin?
Actually, it's, I got this in when I was in Hawaii.
Oh, I thought it was a McLovin mug. It'd be a lot cooler if it was
McLovin. Yes. Yeah, I would have set the odds of me actually being up and having showered before the show at maybe plus 1,000 last night. But no, we're good. We're showered. We're ready. I'm feeling great. Maybe still feeling some adrenaline from yesterday because that was wild trying to cover. Even though we kind of knew the trade was coming, like perhaps, I mean, I don't know about you. I was kind of on red alert all day.
Yes.
It seemed like there was something to the Steelers stuff and it might actually go down, and I'm just happy it happened at about 5:45 and not 8:45.
Well, some of us went out at like 1:30.
Yeah, you went the true St. Patrick's Day.
Right after the Keenan Allen press conference, and I think there was a lot of us in that media room who accepted some of the risk, but hey, we are human. We are Chicagoans. We are allowed to enjoy a 55-degree sunny day on St. Patrick's Day with the river dyed green.
Yeah.
Had a little fun, changed my afternoon a little bit, but here we are, ready to talk about it.
Yeah, we are. And if you missed it, we did go live on CHGO last night, so you can always go back and check out like for the rawest of raw reaction to the trade. But we're happy to be here on Hogan John's with you this morning to further digest this trade and what it all means. I want to start there, too, and make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Our show account is at Hogan Johns. Of course, you can get all of our merch, which both of us are wearing today instead of St. Patrick's Day colors. Got the Walking Bear t-shirt and the Walking Bear polo. Today, you can get it all at HoganJohns.com. We always appreciate the support. Please hit that like button. Please subscribe, because you can check out the show on YouTube every time we have an episode. And we appreciate if you do that, even if you're an old school podcast listener, you know, listening in the car or through your phone or whatever you're doing. And please rate and review the pod if you do listen that way. Thank you very much. So let's just start with the trade itself here. A 6th-round pick next year that could go to a 4th, depending on playing time parameters, which we don't necessarily know. Hopefully at some point we'll have that.
Well, it's 51% of the playing time, is it not?
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Keep talking. I'll get it up for you quickly.
So, basically, if he ends up playing more than Russell Wilson.
Long story short, it's a 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson has to get hurt to change the dynamics of the Steelers QB situation.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe we get into that a little bit later on in the podcast, what Justin Fields could do. But the Steelers did make it clear, apparently, to Russell Wilson. There's been multiple reports out, including this morning, kind of double downing on that, that before this trade was made official and public, Mike Tomlin called Russell Wilson and said, hey, you're still our starter. And Russell had a nice tweet out there last night with the picture of him dapping up Justin.
He had it ready to go.
Yeah. So, you know, that'll be a... That becomes now, this is not a Steelers podcast, but that becomes an interesting story in the NFL this season without a doubt. And I'm sure we'll be paying attention to it throughout the season, just especially if it ends up affecting next year's draft capital too.
So my most instant natural reaction as the news was breaking and I'm on my phone exiting this family house party that we were at is it's just a sixth round pick. Like it's kind of shocking, like absolutely shocking in a sense that's all they were able to get for a quarterback who has been electric in moments. Numbers don't look great in certain situations, especially in third quarters and fourth downs, 2 minute situations and whatnot, but who had so much potential and hope not too long ago. Like even entering this past season, so much potential, so much hope, all of that. It was shocking in a sense. Like that's it. Like that's my honest reaction. Like that was it. And sometimes the market just tells you that's it. And I think the Bears eventually had to act on that market. Like to me, doing right by Justin Fields is not dragging this out. We could debate which team would be best, but not dragging this out into April, into draft, during the draft, that's doing right by Justin Fields, by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, could they have gotten more for Justin? There's this, you know, there's this question about could they have gotten more if they moved earlier? I think they would have if they, you know, would have gotten more earlier. I just think they didn't. Now, could they have gotten more if they held on to him longer and maybe this got closer to the draft or during the draft when the team strikes out on a quarterback? Maybe. But for what? Like, is that six-round pick next year going to suddenly turn into a third this year? I mean, that's a big gap. So I'm with you. That sort of stunning how this ended up playing out. You know, at one time there was talk about if Justin Fields could get a first round pick for him. But the consensus,
I think, looking back at that's probably there's some silliness there.
I agree, but multiple times Adam Schefter came out and was like, "Yeah, teams are saying second or third," and that seemed to be what was the consensus. So the fact that there's, and it's not only what happened in this trade, it's these other trades too. And I think Kent has some of these ready. So Desmond Ridder goes to Arizona in straight up player for player trade. Atlanta gets Rondale Moore back, who's been, I guess the production's been somewhat disappointing, but he's still a pretty electric player. Like, I would have taken Rondale Moore on the Bears. Kenny Pickett and a fourth to Philadelphia. And Pittsburgh got back a third and a seventh, so they move up an entire round for moving Kenny Pickett. That's in this year's draft. Sam Howell plus a fourth and a sixth to Seattle. Got Seattle a third round pick back and a future fifth. Mac Jones went for a sixth this year. Trey Lance, remember that one? Fourth round pick for Trey Lance to go do nothing in Dallas and just sit behind Dak Prescott. And then the one that we've been bringing up for months now because we thought there was a comparison for Justin Fields was the Sam Darnold trade 2 years ago when he went to Carolina and the Jets got back a sixth, but then also a second and a fourth rounder in the next draft in 2022. So all of these, I think we can agree on, are better values or better returns than what the Bears are getting for Justin Fields. And I'm sorry, but Justin Fields is better than every single one of those quarterbacks that we just put up on that graphic.
I would think now the graphic would suggest that some around the league probably disagree with you, though.
Apparently.
It's one of the hard realities of this, is it not?
I guess it is. I guess it is. I think there is a lesson here in maybe a bigger lesson in what teams prefer at the quarterback position, which quite frankly has me wondering about Jaden Daniels actually going in the top three all of a sudden.
You know, like some of that trade conversation, like it deals with timing, leverage. There's a lot of factors that come into play, like different draft classes, different veteran quarterbacks that move. So there's a lot of maybe extra context to all those different situations. But if I'm drawing like anything out of this, it's that the league feels at this point in Justin Fields' career that he's a backup. And that's a hard reality, I think, that the Bears had to realize. And that has to be a very humbling reality for Justin Fields, that I imagine knowing him, knowing what we know about him, it's going to be extremely motivating for him. But it's the harsh truth, the ruthless business side of the NFL rearing its ugly head right now.
Don't you think there's got to be some teams, like let's say the Cardinals right now, going, wait, we could have had Justin Fields for a future sixth-round pick?
Maybe. But if you're the Bears and you want to do him right, like to further this conversation, you have Kyler Murray there kind of locked into a contract. At least with Pittsburgh, there's no quarterback under contract beyond this season.
So do you think that the Bears did, you know, perhaps did turn down some other offers?
I can't say that for certainty, but if you want to do right by Justin Fields.
Yeah, sending him to Arizona probably wouldn't have been great.
No. You're sending to him an organization that has been consistently just like stable.
Yeah.
They've had three coaches over the past, 100 years?
Yeah. Well, what about
only a slight exaggeration there.
Seattle?
But didn't they just trade for their own backup quarterback?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can you put the graphic back? That was the Sam Howell trade, right? He's the one that went to Seattle. So Sam Howell, a fourth and a sixth to Seattle. I think that actually we had the graphic wrong. I think Washington got the third, right? Washington got the third round. Regardless, So it was Washington getting back the third round pick. So they moved up an entire round. Regardless, it's like, I mean, that could have been an interesting spot for Justin to compete against Geno Smith. And again, I'm just like.
At one point, though, Sam Howell led the league in passing.
I know.
Yards. And that's just, that could be a matter of situation. Like, here's another interesting thing about, at least, if I'm going to criticize the Pittsburgh destination, his offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, was part of an Atlanta regime that passed on Fields in the top 10 in 2021. It's almost like there is no perfect situation for Justin Fields out there. Like, even the one that he's at now, where you have Omar Khan, who believes in him, you have Russell Wilson, a mentor, like there now in the same room as him, but now you have Arthur Smith, who was part of the Atlanta brain trust that passed on him in 2021.
And, you know, was it Josh Kendall we had on before the Falcons game this
year? It was. I was just thinking about that.
And I think about that interview a lot whenever the Steelers were coming up as a destination, because he was Josh Kendall, who covers the Falcons for the Athletic. We had him on late in the season before the Bears played the Falcons. And you guys listening might remember this. I mean, he was adamant that Justin Fields was not a fit for Arthur Smith. Because it was at that point we were talking about, hey, Justin getting traded to the Falcons this offseason is a possibility. And then Arthur Smith got fired, ended up as the OC in Pittsburgh. So every time the Steelers have come up, I'm like, well, if what Josh was telling us was right, I don't know. And maybe what he was saying, you know, was accurate and why they didn't like him as a starter. But perhaps different conversation as the backup.
Well, circumstances change too, right? Kenny Pickett was apparently pissed off that Russell Wilson has arrived. Don't want this competition. Trade me. He's gone. Quarterback spot opens up. And now the market is just like the Steelers. And you're not trading a second-round pick. You're not trading a third-round pick. You're not trading a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick. You're trading a 2025 conditional sixth-round pick.
Yep.
To me, that's an easy decision for even Arthur Smith, despite his potential criticisms of Justin Fields, to get behind.
Now, one point I did want to make on what year this pick is coming in. Because at first you're like, and I certainly was too, I was like, wait, this draft pick's not even going to be for this year. They only have four picks right now. We've been assuming this entire time that Justin Fields was going to get the Bears at least another pick this year. Important point to remember, though, if we're talking about a six-round pick, having a six-round pick next year, especially one that could potentially get bumped up to a fourth conditionally, is more valuable than having that same pick this year. The draft this year universally is considered weak in the later rounds this year because of an extreme lack of underclassmen, a low number of underclassmen that declared this year. Part of that is the COVID years that still count. Part of that is NIL money. It sort of changed the landscape. But right now, the expectation, and sometimes this changes, but right now the expectation is next year's draft class is going to be go back to how it normally is, where you can get more depth in the later rounds. Now, I'm not telling you a diamond in the rough isn't going to hit this year in the draft. It will. There'll be a Puka Nacua from the fifth round or something like that. There always is. But when you're projecting probability of hitting on a draft pick, I'm guessing that the Bears, part of the reason why they were okay with this deal is because that six-round pick has more value next year, especially if it ends up getting bumped up two rounds.
Well, I'll give you that. Yes, future draft capital counts a little bit more, but I don't see that bumping up to a fourth rounder. Like, I need to see something change in Pittsburgh for that to come to fruition.
Well, what if something changes is just, I mean, again, we're not doing a Steelers podcast here, but I have thought about this a lot in the last 12 hours or so. Like, what does Russell have left? What if he's struggling? Justin's probably going to end up being a fan favorite there. Every team loves their backup. And we kind of know Russell's a sort of a pain in the ass to deal with, especially seems like more late in these later years. We also know everybody loves Justin. His teammates are going to love him. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a movement to get Justin on the field if Russell's struggling at all in the first quarter of the season.
I know what you're saying, but like if we're just going based off of like the most recent production, you know, I talked about Justin Fields' passing production not being too difficult to replace, even by a rookie quarterback. It's just not, right?
Right.
Just where it ranks. Russell Wilson was a significantly better passer than Justin Fields in 2023, even with a head coach that was just waiting to get rid of him.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, there's no question Russell's the better quarterback and has been for a long, long time, obviously. You know, he's got a Super Bowl ring. He's had a hell of a career. But I don't know. We know how these things go.
To me, it's like for ending this part of the conversation, like doing right by Justin Fields. I just think going to, like, if you're the Bears and you really want to do it, I don't know if that's Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is under contract. Like, Jalen Hurts is the guy. I know they changed things quite quickly there in Philadelphia, but still. Same thing with Arizona. Now, Seattle was interesting until they made their trade. We'll see. If I'm Justin Fields, you try to embrace it a bit. It's a hard reality to accept, but the Steelers have been consistently good at everything they do. Right, Mike Tomlin is a Hall of Fame coach. That defense is going to be one of the best. They have a knack for drafting great receivers, like seemingly every year.
Yeah,
like they know what they want to be, and they know what they want to do in Pittsburgh. So maybe embrace it and see what happens in 2025.
Well, I'm certainly going to be following along. Let's try to close the book a little bit on Justin Fields in Chicago, and some of our favorite moments. You know, the funny thing is, I think one of his best moments, one of his best games, came in Pittsburgh. That Monday night game, that throw over the middle to Cole Kmet. Incredible grab. Of course, the way that game ended with Cassius Marsh getting called for taunting when Tony Corrente bumped into him. Did I tell you that we talked to Cassius Marsh at the Super Bowl?
Still remember it?
He was, I mean, I was like, what? Of all the people on Radio Row, I was like, that's Cassius Marsh. And he was kind of vague enough of an NFL player that, you know, he could sort of walk around and people would be like, who's that guy? And we were one of the few that knew, because like Cassius Marsh, who was here for 5 seconds, certainly made an impact. And Justin was recently, when he did that interview on the St. Brown Brothers podcast, he couldn't even remember Cassius Marsh's name. But he was talking about that game. So That's always going to be one of the memories that sticks out to me, is actually a loss on Monday Night Football. Because, and I remember getting up in the hotel room in Pittsburgh the next morning and get up and good morning football. As much as the storyline was about the referees, and it was, but there was also a ton of optimism about Justin and the way he played in that game on national television. I remember, you know, and I think it's why a lot of people for a while now had been like, Justin's pretty good, keep him. So that was definitely one of the memories that stood out to me.
There's a few things for me. One is it's telling the behind the scenes story of his draft selection.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do that for The Athletic a few years ago. Talked to Ryan Pace at length about it, just how everything came to be, like how they were actively ready for that move. Like the trade was already made before the draft started, if Justin Fields happened to be available with that selection. So telling that story, and then like that run in, was it, it would be last year, right? Like the Mike McDaniel stop it moments, when you started getting these absolutely amazing plays, like these wow plays, when you got this anything can happen feeling with him. I never had that covering a Bears quarterback before, and I've covered a lot. Like in those moments, you're thinking the Bears have their guy finally, right? Like that's what you're thinking. Yeah. That's what I'll remember, is those feelings, like thinking those thoughts at that time, like they have their guy. Get him some help. Give him some time. I'm not talking about like time behind the pocket, but some time to develop. And the passing will come along. But the stuff he's doing right now is absolutely dynamic. Full lightning in the bottle, you know, type moments. Like so those feelings, I think I'll always remember about Justin Fields.
So that was that four-game stretch in 2022 where the Bears actually only went 1-3 in that stretch. But they were scoring. They led the league in scoring, I believe, over that four-game stretch. So, and it'd been so long for a Bears offense to even, you know, talk about leading the league in scoring for an entire month. And that was that stretch where it was like any time Justin took a snap, you didn't know if he was going to break off like a 60-plus yard touchdown run against the Lions in that game when he outran his former teammate Jeff Fakuda to the end zone. You're right. I mean, and that was when we had JT O'Sullivan on the show, and he was like, "Yeah, you guys got your quarterback. It's done. You got him." I think there was an afternoon show in the city that
say the guys on the score threw a party,
had a QB1 party, declared Fields the guy, and honestly, that all seemed justifiable at the time. So, and I think that it was that stretch and those feelings that Bears fans are just not used to having, that we're not used to having covering this team, that is why so many fans were still clinging on to that, even in this offseason, hoping he would still be the quarterback next year. And I get it. Like, I totally understand that. And that's why I think last year was so disappointing to me. That not only did he not take that step forward, but from the passing standpoint, from the numbers that you've brought up a lot on the show, third down, fourth quarter, money down situations, he actually took a step back this past season.
Just the general QB statistics.
Yeah.
I think the expectation, not only in Hallis Hall, but around the league, that going into 2023 is this is going to be the year where Justin Fields takes that next step along the same lines as Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. Like history says, if your quarterback's going to hit, this is the year he takes off. Like forget the electric stuff with his legs, but as a passer, when he takes off as a quarterback, as a passer in the NFL, it didn't happen. Yes, there was some like individual improvement, sack rate, interception rate, those both improved for him. But where he ranked amongst his peers by nearly every single quarterback measurement was still bottom third of the league or worse. And I think that's why we're here talking about this on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
The expectation wasn't met. and it became time to move on.
And I think we go back to what we talked a lot about last summer, which was like the number one thing this season, no matter what happens, is you got to know if Justin Fields is the guy. And if there's any question about it at the end of the year, that is your answer. And it sounds simplistic, but that's sometimes in football, we get too complicated with everything. And I think if you actually zoom out and look at this from Ryan Poles' perspective, I didn't draft this guy. Gave him 2 years. We're 2 years into it. I'm talking about the Ryan Poles 2 years now with Justin.
It's 28 starts. Yeah.
Right, and then 38 overall to go back to the year before this regime got here. Giving him his chance, man. Giving him 2 seasons, and we still don't know if he's for sure the guy. Now we have the number one pick with one of the best talents that's ever come out right there at number one. Like, if you really think about it that way, from Ryan Poles' perspective, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's just a no-brainer in how the NFL operates. It certainly, even if you don't agree with it being a no-brainer, shouldn't be a surprise that this is what they did.
One of the criticisms that I didn't like that emerged from all this is that the help was just like god-awful for Justin Fields, especially like this past season. Like, it wasn't. Like, look at the contract Darnell Mooney got. Despite his awful production this year. Like, that in itself should tell you. Yes, I know there's a bunch of drops on film for Justin Fields. I get that. I do. But a lot of quarterbacks have drops. If you look at the NFL drop leaders, the Bears aren't among them. I think the Kansas City Chiefs actually were. And they won the freaking Super Bowl. I think at some point, like, I felt like I had higher expectations for Justin Fields than some of his like most ardent supporters, which was kind of surprising to me. I mean, that's a different conversation, but it was, yeah. Just in terms of wrapping this up, like the Fields era, I think what I will remember most is just the excitement, the electricity that he produced, right? And I think it lingers. I think that's why these conversations, or the conversations up to this point now, it's over, I hope, got so nasty in a sense, because Justin Fields did provide so much hope at some point.
100%. And it was all justified. But now it's Caleb time. And I think that I'm really going to be fascinated, Johns, how these next, I think it's 39 days now, plays out from the sort of what you were just touching on there, the fan aspect and support, because there's been such a effort to sort of tear down Caleb during all this vitriol. And I think this trade happening when it does will allow for the proper sort of turnaround on that. That by the time the pick gets made, that I'm just interested to see if the perspective on Caleb Williams from those that are like so anti-Caleb right now will change.
The Bears must feel, I tweeted this yesterday, like not only really good about Caleb Williams, at least where their evaluation is at right now on March 17th, but also about others in this quarterback class, because so many things can happen between now and the draft. What's it, 26th, 24th? I mean, there's more than a month, right? So many things can happen where you're like, oh, no, I can't take Caleb Williams now. Like, so if you're trading Justin Fields, and I agree that you have to do right by him, right? But you must also feel really, really good about other quarterbacks in this draft class, just in case. Like, just in case something happens and you have to pivot off number one, right? Like,
right.
Doesn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, and if you want to do that, I have a couple thoughts on that. But let's remember, if you do end up in that situation, as long as it's not something, whatever scares you off of Caleb doesn't scare, you know, three other teams off of Caleb too, theoretically, you can still get that quote-unquote haul that, you know, these fans have been talking about for so long and draft somebody else. It's, theoretically, it's still possible. I also look at it like this, though. You've gone so far down this road. You made such a, like, this trade's still controversial, even if it only ended up being for what it was and the league kind of told you what Justin, how Justin's really viewed. It's still controversial here in Chicago. I just can't believe they would get this far with a lottery ticket that they got and pivot off of Caleb Williams. That would be so risky. I mean, taking Caleb and missing on Caleb would be way more easy to swallow than passing on Caleb and missing on the whoever else you draft.
Yeah.
While Caleb's off winning major, Super Bowls.
I'm just saying you can't, like, for all the nice things you said about Justin Fields, now that, like, he doesn't matter anymore. He's traded. Like, if that's no longer your fallback option, if something crazy comes out about Caleb Williams, I'm just saying, doesn't seem far-fetched that there might be other quarterbacks that appeal to the Bears.
Well,
after Caleb Williams,
yeah,
that are better than Justin Fields. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, and I agree with you. We talked about that coming out of the combine. Like, that was one of our biggest takeaways, was that plan B had become something other than Justin. So it's obvious that they like more than one quarterback in this draft. The question then becomes, how big is the gap? And I think we both agree Caleb's clearly number one right now, not only, yeah, you know, in our eyes, but also in the Bears' eyes. But, you know, it's a big week, by the way. Pro Day on Wednesday. And we'll have coverage from that because I'm going. Caleb Williams Pro Day. I know The Athletic is going to have other coverage as well. So we'll have all that covered. And then I don't know the exact date, but Caleb's expected to come visit at Hal's Hall shortly after the Pro Day.
Yeah.
So it's... they're going to get a lot of information here, like, in the next 10 to 12 days.
If you're, and you know what? Like, in terms of these pro days, sometimes teams go out early and they host these prospects for dinner, or they stay a day later and have dinner with them. And then 2 weeks after that becomes the visit where they meet everybody in the facility and everybody almost gets a say on how they feel about the certain quarterback as a person. But, yes, just in terms of what's on the calendar coming up, Wednesday you have USC Pro Day, along with Ohio State and Alabama, but obviously USC is number one. Friday, I believe you have Michigan with J.J. McCarthy. And then the week after that, you have LSU and North Carolina. I imagine the Bears will be all four of those en masse.
Yeah. And now they can do that without the Justin Fields thing hanging over. Like, I think the timing of that matters. Kind of bringing closure to that.
Well,
I mean, I know that they still...
I think that matters for Fields more than anyone. Again, that's closure I think he deserves in a sense, right? That the Bears wanted to provide him, doing right again.
But I still think that diving all the way in here to what is essentially, you know, the final stages of the draft process, not having to worry about trading Justin, not having that hanging over any part of your organization, even outside the football part of it, you know, marketing, all these types of things, you don't have to deal with it. Public relations, you don't have to deal with it. It's now everybody can focus just on these quarterbacks that are available to draft, and the Bears have the number one and number nine picks. And they got to get it right. They got, you know, they absolutely have to get both of these picks right. And having that ninth pick is part of this too, because think about all the work they did just on landing Darnell Wright last year. They have that same pick again. So it's not just the quarterbacks they got to deal with. They got to, and they have been, obviously. You do this every year. You vet all these players, but you're going to have access to two top 10 players. You got to make sure you get those picks right. There can't be any guessing.
Yeah. Yeah. If, you know, that ninth pick is another blue chip player potentially on your roster. And I think we need to reemphasize this point. This Bears roster is as good as we've ever seen it in terms of being ready for any quarterback, Now it's going to be a rookie quarterback, but it's a good roster. Like, yeah. And right now your QB1 is Tyson Bagent. One of the best receiving combos they've had in over, what, 10 years? A defense that should be top 5, top 10 in a lot of categories, potentially getting better with the number 9 pick. It's a darn good roster.
It'll be... If I had to set the odds at do the Bears actually pick at number 9, I would think the favorite would be no. But it's with your lack of draft picks, it's like, okay, obviously, it's like, oh, yeah, trade back. Maybe you can get a second-round pick then. Maybe you can add another third-round pick. Ryan Poles has been doing pretty good with those second-rounders. That's potentially another blue chip with the way that they've been drafting there. It's at least a chance to get another long-term starter. On the other hand, with lack of draft capital, do you get tempted to say, F it, let's trade up? Like, let's go get the next guy we need at 5 or 6 or something like that, and just make sure you're getting a blue chip wide receiver,
yeah,
or the best offensive tackle possible for this quarterback you're getting.
I don't know, man. After bringing in Keenan Allen, I think the Bears have now, I don't want to say made it less of an emphasis, but I think they'd be. I think they're telling us they'd be okay if those top three receivers are gone.
Yeah.
And we could look at, like, a pass rusher is still, like, if I'm tiering the premium positions, I'm looking at the passer than the pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
And to get a Dallas Turner to go opposite Montez Sweat, talk about, like, two amazing receivers. How about two amazing pass rushers on your defense? I don't know. Well, I lean that way in a sense instead of trading up.
And that first defensive player could be available at 9, the way things might be shaking out. And that might be make it hard to trade back. If you're sitting there and the best defensive guy on your board is right there, he's the edge rusher, or he's a 3 technique that can kind of complete your defense right now, be very interesting to see how it plays out. All right, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, we got to hit some super chats, I think, here.
Oh, we got some supers? Let's do it. Marlon Harris, $4.99. The league didn't want Lamar Jackson either last year. No one wants a running quarterback. Marlon, it's a little bit of a different situation because you had to give up 2 first-round picks and sign him to the biggest contract in football to get Lamar last year. So it's... There's some truth to that, but also it's a completely different situation.
Like Lamar Jackson is a good passer. His second season, wasn't he the NFL MVP? Like, I get it. Like, what he does with his legs is exciting, but I just pulled up his passing numbers.
Yeah, the passing number is in the tape. It's not even comparable.
Yes. They're not the same player. 36 touchdown passes, 66.1 completion percentage, 83.0 QBR, 113.3 passer rating. I mean, that's Lamar Jackson's second season, and we're talking about Justin Fields going into his fourth season. I'd never liked that comparison.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, cloudy future, $5. Mr. Hogue, Mr. Johns, is there any chance the Bears select another quarterback in the draft other than Williams at one, still seeing trade one for a haul by some Bears fans? You know, we kind of just addressed that, but, you know, I think our minds are open to it, but only in a scenario where something comes up here in the next 40 days that just forces you to not draft Caleb Williams. And I personally don't see that unfolding.
And here's the risk. Like, in that, like, if you start IDing another quarterback, you have to be sure to get him. And if you're passing on Caleb Williams at one, do you just take the other quarterback at one, even though certain grades in your board doesn't reflect such a selection? Like, and then, like, how far back do you trade down if you really want, I don't know, let's say J.J. McCarthy because he's rising up the draft boards. Like, how far back do you go? Mm-hmm. Look at the Minnesota Vikings. They have now two first-round picks and appear very poised to move up into the draft to take some quarterback, right?
Right, because I got news for you. As of 5:45 yesterday, whenever this trade was completed, do you know what the biggest need on the Bears roster is? Quarterback. When the second they removed Justin Fields off magnet from the board yesterday, when they're looking at their roster, they got Tyson Bagent and Brett Rippon right now. Like, that's it. So if you're not going to draft Caleb one, you better make sure whoever else is coming in there is your starting quarterback, because otherwise you have this great roster and no quarterback. I don't want to say no quarterback, but Tyson Bagent is the backup. Let's just be honest about this. So you can't F that up now. So yes, this idea of trading back and getting a haul, well, that was a little, you could stomach that a little bit more when you had Justin Fields, you know, still on your roster. That's incredibly risky to do now. Like, I honestly couldn't see them doing it for more than moving back one spot with Washington.
I was just about to say that. There's only one team you make that move for. It's the scenario in which Caleb Williams wants to go to Washington and Washington wants him. So you trade back one spot, and that is it.
And then you take your guy at two because you know you can get him.
Yes. And you hold them on the phone for as much as you can get, right? You play hardball. Right. I know you don't have much leverage if you're Ryan Poles in that situation, but you got to get something. You got to get something, I don't know, in this draft because you've already used your draft capital for other guys in the roster. But, yeah, I don't know. That's the only – it is now snowing in Chicago on St. Patrick's Day. Anyway, as I look out my window.
Snowing?
Yes, at least in the city itself. Anyway, like if that scenario comes to fruition and you have to pivot off Caleb Williams, I'm not saying they're going to do it. He's still your number one quarterback right now as we're talking. But if you have to, you can only go back one.
And I see the chat already. Why are these guys even talking about trading back? Well, we had a nice super chat from a nice listener who asked a nice question. We're entertaining it. That's the only reason why we're entertaining it. Don't twist this up. We are on the same page here on what's not only most likely to happen, but you know what we would do too. Andrew Labrato, $5. I keep reading how this draft is top heavy and not deep. Do you guys feel that way? And how far does that extend to the third round? Yeah, I've had a couple evaluators tell me that this might even be like a 3-round draft. Certainly not more than a 4-round draft. And I think that's why the Bears draft picks, while they, you know, okay, so they have the first pick, the 9th pick, a 3rd-round pick, and a 4th-round pick right now. And that's it. But I think they're comfortable with that because of how this draft has played out. It would have been great if they somehow could have moved up a round with the Justin Fields trade, even if they had to, you know, give back their 3rd to get up to the 2nd. That would have been nice, but obviously that's not how that market played out. So I tend to agree with it, but there's always players that go undrafted every year. So you still got to do your homework and find a way to get somebody in that 4th round and somebody who's undrafted that contributes.
And to your point, though, about the lack of depth, maybe that's why, another reason why, you trade a 5th round pick for Ryan Bates, who is probably better this year and next year than some of the linemen that you bring in that draft. You know,
I don't know that they trade that last year or next year.
Right.
I think that was specific to this year.
And I get that they've hit on 5th-round picks. They have, like Braxton Jones. Great example. But they also have taken like a bunch of other linemen on day 3 that haven't exactly panned out instantaneously or even 2 or 3 years into their career. Like this is what happens. So you trade that 5th-round pick. You get a guy who can contribute immediately on your roster in 2024 when you're trying to build around a quarterback. And like I get that the Bears only have 4 draft picks this year. Can we all just remember that one of them was used on Montez Sweat?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. Montez Sweat, Ryan Bates is what your 5th-round pick turned into.
We just got another super chat on this from Farming Bear. Bring this one up right away.
$9.99. I think it's important to remember that we already took players with the picks we don't have. Can you get Sweat in the 2nd, Allen in the 4th? Yeah, that's right. Keenan Allen's the 4th. Yeah. So you can look at it that way. Your 2nd-round pick became Montez Sweat. Your 4th-round pick became Keenan freaking Allen. Your 5th-round pick became Ryan Bates, who might be starting on your line.
I just think if you're now going all in on this QB development, you need a roster full of guys who could contribute. Like guys you know for sure are going to be ready on day 1 without the unpredictability of the draft. You know you're getting something out of Keenan Allen. You know you're getting something out of Montez Sweat. And you're pretty optimistic about Ryan Bates too.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. Like, let's say I could tell you that you're guaranteed to have Roma Dunze at 9. That sounds pretty good, right? And maybe that could still happen. But what's better for Caleb Williams in his rookie year? Keenan Allen, one of the most quarterback-friendly wide receivers that exists in the league, who you know is savvy at sitting in open zones.
One of the best slot receivers in the past decade.
Right. And his veteran presence, everything he knows, the knowledge he was talking about in his press conference yesterday. Roma Dunze might be a Hall of Fame player for you for years and years and years. And that would be great. But you got Keenan Allen for a 4th-round pick who you know is going to be Caleb Williams' best friend for his entire rookie season. Like, and maybe you could still have both. That's the thing. But the point I'm trying to make is a receiver like Keenan Allen, the savvy veteran, who's in like this upper tier of guys that you know are just going to be so quarterback friendly to help your rookie quarterback, is going to be more valuable to Caleb Williams' development in year one. I'm not talking about beyond that, but just in year one as a rookie, than another rookie wide receiver would be. Whoever it is. No matter how talented they are, just Keenan Allen's bringing all that to the table. And that's huge.
To me, it's a matter of certainty. You know you have Keenan Allen right now. You don't know how the draft is going to play out. The draft is amazingly unpredictable. You don't know if one of those top three receivers is going to be there at number nine, but you know what? You know Keenan Allen's on your roster right now.
Yeah.
You know you have one of the best slot receivers who's coming off a career best season. Despite injuries, I get it. He may not play a full 16, full 17 games. But if he gives you 13, 14, 15, and he helps your rookie come along, helps him build confidence, helps Caleb Williams be the Caleb Williams we think he can be, yes. Sign me up for that level of certainty going into this draft.
All right, let's fly through these remaining Super Chats. Mike Eversley with a $20 Super. Thank you very much, Mike. Really appreciate it. You just mentioned Dallas Turner, but who is your top-rated defensive end that could be potentially drafted at 9 and why? Mike, right now, Dallas Turner is that guy. I'm not completely done with that evaluation and specifically want to compare him very closely to Jared Verse, who... At first glance, when you first turn on the tape, to me, Jared Verse looks like more of a prototypical 4-3 hand in the ground defensive end for this Bears defense. Dallas Turner's length is unbelievable. We know the Bears value that. But when you turn on Alabama's tape, Dallas Turner's usually lining up sort of like Khalil Mack does, like sort of all over, but always in a two-point stance. And he's certainly not as big as Khalil Mack. I'm just bringing up kind of how they use him. You know, sometimes he'll line up almost like, remember Brian Urlacher walking up into the A-gap when he and Lance Briggs would mug the A-gaps. Like, they move him around a lot at Alabama. I'm talking about Dallas Turner now. So, just the way, but that doesn't mean he can't transition and, you know, become that player on the Bears defense. It's just, I got to work through that a little bit more but between now and the draft.
I think you're looking at three players at number nine. Or a slight trade back if that scenario presents itself. Looking at Dallas Turner, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas.
I'm liking him more and more.
And Jared Verse. Right? Yeah. Those are your three, all different types of players. I think Jared Verse, in terms of the physical profile, the long arms, fits what Matt Eberflus wants. I think his story and the way he plays completely... fits with the Bears want again. Like, everything about Jared Verse strikes me as a Matt Eberflus-like player. I could see, like, Flus banging the table for Jared Verse. But I could see him banging the table for Byron Murphy, too.
Yeah.
The engine of his defense, that three technique, a rookie who could come in and be immediately disruptive on his defensive line.
Byron Murphy is, like, giving me Darnell Wright vibes from last year's draft. And what I mean by that is, like, a guy that when you first started this process, and we always dive in late, right? Like, we're not doing this year-round with the draft. Try to watch as much college football as I can. I did watch a lot of Texas last year, actually. But you're not really diving into this until you kind of take Dane Brugler's top 50 in January and you try to start to sort it out for yourself. And, like, last year this happened with Darnell Wright where, okay, he looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl. You're like late first round, second round pick. And then the more and more you start to work on this guy, it's like, man, he kind of is a perfect fit for what the Bears need. And he kind of seems like it's not necessarily a sure thing, but a relatively safe pick as a right tackle. Maybe he can move the left tackle eventually for you, but like, he sure as hell looks like a plug-and-play right tackle, like exactly what they need right now. Why take a risk? Just, and then you hear all the stories later about how much they liked him. Byron Murphy, to me, there was so much focus on Tavondre Sweat because he's just this big, massive guy in the middle of that defense when you watch Texas games this year. Like, the more and more you turn on Byron Murphy, like, this guy's the better player. And I don't care if the rest of the league views him as a later first-round pick right now. Like, he's what the Bears need. He's twitchy and explosive in the get off. And yes, he's a little bit small, and ultimately the Bears do value length and things like that, so they're going to have to sort all that out. But to me, for where the Bears are right now, I would value that over getting a second edge rusher when you already know you have Sweat on the other end.
I feel like every year there's players like, oh, like Darnell Wright, pick in the 20s, you know, late first round, that makes sense for him. But every year, like one of those guys, oh, the league sees him as a top 10 player, top 10 potential. It's always about that projection, right?
Yeah.
And the situation he goes to, like being such a perfect fit for what the Bears want to do and want to be. Like that's how I see Byron Murphy, right? I don't know if it's just because Aaron Donald just retired. Like, I just remember that story. Like, oh, he's too small, this, that, and the other. The dude's one of the best players of all time. Draft what, number 12? Was it 12? Right?
For Donald? For, yeah. 13. 13. One spot ahead of the Chicago Bears.
Kyle Fuller, and we know the Bears loved Aaron Donald, too. I'm not saying Byron Murphy's the second coming of Aaron Donald, but you know, let's look past certain measurables and just look at the football player in a sense. Byron Murphy could be immensely disruptive for the Bears defensive line, like instantaneously.
Bear Down Omaha, $2 says Chicago had a top 5 D without a second edge. Go wide receiver at 9. And you can justify that. You do have a pretty good defense regardless, and maybe you want to get Kayla more help. I get it. Sonny 777 closing us out here, $5. Keeping Justin out of sentimentality while other teams, while other teams wouldn't give up a third round pick would be a typical Bears move, but Poles is different. Trust him.
Oh, that's the suggestion. Like, the league is telling you what he is, and we'll just keep him because of it.
Yeah. That never made sense to me.
No.
Right?
No. To the point of learning about evaluations and you know, I think this experience for Ryan Poles, as a young GM still, just in terms of maybe feeling better about his own QB evaluations, like those conversations have to be pretty unique for Ryan Poles to walk into. Like, hey, you know, what about the Sam Darnold deal? No. We think Justin Fields is worth a lot less than that. We think he's a backup. Like, those conversations have to be very, very unique for him.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that wraps it up for Super Chats. There's just one more thing that we wanted to address on the back end of this, because we did see it go somewhat viral on social media, and I wasn't completely surprised by it. But obviously, we had Josh Lucas on the show the other day, and if you missed it, please go back and listen. It was a fun conversation. Some interesting stuff on Keenan Allen and then what's going on with the quarterbacks. And when we talked about Caleb Williams, he made reference to, some rumors that have been going on, and we've heard them. We've heard them, you know, throughout this draft process. And he even admitted in his clip, and I don't know if that made the clip that ended up on social media that was sort of going viral. I'm not sure if that was included, but he admitted that what he was bringing up could be unsubstantiated. So a lot of people, and I honestly think fairly, were wondering why we didn't follow up to what he said, because he was basically saying that, you know, some teams could be scared off of Caleb because of these rumors. And so I get why people are like, well, why didn't you follow up on what those were? One thing about this show that we've been pretty consistent on over the years is, like, we don't necessarily go down the road of unsubstantiated stuff that's out there. And meanwhile, as much as people want to accuse us or others of not wanting to dig on Caleb Williams, we have been digging in on Caleb Williams for months now, going back to when the Bears regular season was still going on. And I had a story come out Super Bowl week that I encourage you to read, allchgo.com, on a lot of this stuff that's just sort of been floating out there. And to this point, and maybe this changes, okay, I'll give you that. I mean, maybe something does get substantiated. But at this point, all this stuff that's sort of been floating out there, let me be very clear on this too. Almost none of it actually has to do with Caleb Williams. Like, the stuff that people are worried about, it's the behind the scenes stuff. It's more of like what's real about what his dad might do or try to change. And all, it's all been out there. It's all been reported, right? And to this point, to me, none of it from all the people I've talked to is real. And so that's where when we can't control what guests come on here and say, when that stuff gets brought up, my initial reaction is like, until something becomes more real or I hear it from my own digging that I've been doing, we don't need to draw more attention to it. That's kind of where I am on it. And I think that that's why, that's the best way I can explain why we didn't necessarily poke on that, because we've all sort of heard it. And to this point, I think it's a lot of nothing.
It's full steam ahead with this evaluation. If you're the Chicago Bears, right? Like this is, they're still digging.
Yeah.
Like Caleb Williams hasn't been through Hallis Hall yet. Like he hasn't met every vice president there is, like everyone who wants to get a feel for him. But now I feel like this is the conversation. Let's just go with it. The Justin Fields conversation is now over. I'm sure his name will come up every now and then, but now it's focusing on Caleb Williams. We know what the tape says. Absolutely dynamic. There is no one like him in the draft. He is special on the field. But as Ryan Poles once said, what, in January? Got to figure out the person, too. That's the next step.
And I'll leave with this because it's the draft process is what it is. And you sort the draft process is unique for especially a player like of Caleb Williams' talent, because you basically spend months trying to look for any reason, not every reason not to draft the guy.
And that's dangerous.
Right? That can get you in trouble.
Yeah. Ryan Poles will tell you have to focus on what he can do instead of what he can't do. Like focus on the positives instead of the negatives.
Right. So I'm going to give you the fact that Caleb's going to be different than most players you draft. He's already got television commercials. He's already a superstar. He shows up at the Players Championship on a Thursday morning and it blows up the internet. Right? Like, this is going to be different. The presence of his dad, which I've already written about and addressed, go read it at allchco.com. It's different. And I understand in this very structured NFL world where they want you to only care about football and only be a football guy, love football, all that. I mean, Flus talks about it all the time, right? They're not going to draft players who don't love football. There's going to be extra stuff with Caleb Williams. But to this point, all the digging I've done on the kid, he loves football. And a lot of this extra stuff is just stuff that's around him that he can't necessarily control all of it. He can probably control some of it, but it's just going to be part of drafting Caleb Williams. But instead of looking at it like a reason not to draft him or being scared of all that, well, this franchise has been down the road of let's draft the nice guy. Let's draft the guy that there's no headaches with, that everybody loves, right? They did it with Mitch Trubisky. They did it with Justin Fields. Maybe take a chance for once. Maybe embrace everything that comes with Caleb Williams and the hype and the attention and being on national television probably a ton next year. All the heck, how about this? Maybe embrace being on Hard Knocks.
Nah, they will never do that.
Yeah, I know. But my point of all this is, my point of all this is maybe if you actually started looking at things that way, this franchise would get out of the funk that they've been in for 100 years.
I'll say this about like superstar quarterbacks. There is a level of celebrity with them that just comes with it, right? Like even Josh Allen's dating a movie star now, right? Like Aaron Rodgers has dated movie stars, dated Danica Patrick. Like he's a headache all the time. I feel like he's in the news for every day. I'm waiting to see what happens today with Aaron Rodgers, but that's kind of what happens with
him. Well, he might be running for vice president, so.
That's what kind of happens. Like Tom Brady, you know, movie star, the supermodel, like in the news all the time. Bunch of conflict with Tom Brady, but he won. Now some of these are like just bad comparisons, but just like speaking in generalities, like quarterbacks, the really good ones, like Russell Wilson, Sierra, like there's a level of celebrity that comes with them. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around that a little bit. Like even with Jay Cutler, there was some of that, right?
Oh yeah, Kristen Cavallari
showed up in training camp with an entourage.
Was that a reality show?
Had her own tent in training camp. Like these are things. Like, Jake Cutler was on a reality television show. Like, these are things that happen with quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams is already kind of in that world already because of how college football has changed. You know, and I think draft evaluations have to change with how college football is changing a bit. Like, that's a whole other podcast I think we should do later. But, like, yeah, it comes with it. Embrace the challenge of at least evaluating it because it is different than every quarterback you've kind of evaluated before.
Like, I understand. Look, my point on that is just like you want to be in that world where there's some distractions with your quarterback because they're so famous. That means they're really good. The Bears haven't had that problem because they haven't had that guy. So you shouldn't be afraid of drafting that guy, is my point on all that. Now, if there really is something serious that ends up coming out of this that you just cannot justify, then that's different. But to this point, haven't heard that, haven't seen that. And if there's one thing, I'll leave you with this. Look, our track record here, I think, is pretty good. I'm not saying we've been right about everything. We certainly haven't. But maybe this latest episode with all the Justin Fields stuff, if you've been listening to this show, or CHGO recently, there's been a lot of lack of trust for whatever reason, but it played out the way it did. So I just asked this, like, trust us on this Caleb Williams stuff for now. Because if either one of us comes up with something that's real, that's substantiated, that is a problem, trust me, we'll be talking about it on the show. We'll get it to you.
You probably would have read about it first.
Yeah. Or you read it in The Athletic. It probably would already be out there, too.
True.
So, but there is this process. The Bears are going to go through it. I'll be at the Pro Day on Wednesday. You know, we got NFL owners meetings coming up. We'll hear about these visits. It'll all be sorted out by draft day. Okay? But there's nothing that anybody's trying to hide right now. We're just trying to be responsible about the reporting, and we will continue to be. That's all. Good show.
We're on to the draft.
And, yeah, thank God. Thank God. And I'll be following Justin in Pittsburgh. I said all along, I'm fascinated to see where he ends up, and I won't be surprised if he has success there. The problem is now he's got to figure out how to get on the field. That part I was not anticipating. Yeah. But, okay. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns. Thank you so much, as always, for the support. Thank you for watching live today. Thank you for being in the comments, the super chats, everything like that. If you're watching right now, please, it's not that hard. Hit that like button, hit subscribe, send the link off to a friend. We appreciate your help in growing the channel. And, of course, everybody still listens the podcast version. It's always been there for you. It'll always be there for you. So hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast too. Spotify, Apple, wherever. It's all there for you, and we'll continue to be here throughout this process. Appreciate the support, as always, and we'll be back, I believe, on Tuesday morning is the plan. So we'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Justin Fields time, baby!
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.